So Psalm 139 says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be in night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eye saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not love those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is God's word. Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny on, it's not funny on days like this, but on days like this when we're thinking about children and the place is buzzing and there's kids flying about everywhere and jumping about the place and crawling all over everybody, it's amazing to think of human beings. I don't think any of us who's ever seen the birth of our children have ever been more amazed by what has appeared, if you know what I mean. And human beings are just amazing, amazing, amazing. And I found out some interesting facts. I like facts. And I found out some interesting ones online about the human body. And I want to share them with you. I've kept it good. We've got visitors today. I'm on my best behavior. Because I know Andy's got some posh friends. And I've kept it posh today. That's not my fist. I was asked. So, for instance, the human body, did you know that when you crack your knuckles, the cracking sound that you hear isn't actually your joints or your bones, it's actually air bubbles in fluid in your hands. Did you know that? Hands up if you knew that. Show. Well, certes, just keep your hand down for everything. Okay then, show-offs. This is a... Did you know that... Your sweat does not smell. You knew that, did you? Okay. Actually, the stink of bad body odor. So if you're listening, if you can smell someone next to you, it is not their sweat that you are smelling. It's actually small bacteria which drink their sweat and then poo it out. That's a scientific fact, apparently. I'm going to get done by a doctor somewhere after here, but I'm going with it. Third fact, did you know that just one drop of blood contains about 10,000 blood cells and 250,000 platelets? Did you know? I don't know what a platelet is, but it sounded pretty cool, that fact, so I thought I'd throw it in there. This is my favourite. This is dinner, I think. Ooh, lovely. Did you know that the body processes grasshoppers, beetles, wasps, worms, and caterpillars more easily than burgers? Who knew that? Come on. No, not even Surtees knew that one. So, not only that, they process them better, but they're actually better for us. So I think there's a change of diet in store. We'll be serving them straight after the service in the hatch. Right, this is a one. I don't know why I threw this in. You see the dog's got different coloured eyes? That is a thing called heterochromia. And it is extremely rare in humans. And the actor Kiefer Sutherland is one of the few actors in Hollywood who has two different coloured eyes. But it is a very rare condition, but is extremely common in dogs. I know. You've come to church. You know. The brain. Now, some of us don't have one, but for those who do, the brain is a very wrinkly organ. In fact, if you spread your brain out, it would be about the size of an average pillowcase. And, yeah, don't try it, Ron, though, when you get home. Other interesting fact about the brain is, by the time you are 6 years old, your brain is already 90% of the size it will be for the rest of your life. Nobody's saying anything about that one. Here's a close-up of the liver. In case you wanted to know, the liver has an amazing ability to grow back if part of it is removed. So if it's diseased or cut out from injury or surgery, it grows back. Also, the liver is one of the only organs in the body that grows to fit the different size of each human being. Every liver is different. Who knew that? You're a doctor, aren't you, or something, or a nurse, or something professional. So I'm not the only dumb one in the room. I've got a dumb church as well. Okay, here is another one. Our dead skin cells, our hair, and our nails are made of something called keratin. And keratin is also found in wool, fur, feathers, claws, beaks, hooves, horns, porcupine quills, and turtle shells. You want to show off at a party later? That's a fact. I'm nearly finished. About 10,000 human cells can fit on the end of a pin. Amazing, right? And then the last one, because I like this one, it amused me greatly. Did you know that you produce about 0.5 to 1.5 litres of saliva a day? About the same as a bottle of Coke a day. Half of it probably left on the pillow, right, at night. Thought that was grim, but it was interesting. And you know, the human race, we are fascinating, aren't we? Our bodies are walking scientific wonders. But, you know, a human being is much more than scientific facts and figures. We're much more than cold, clean science. And that's why we're here today. We want to recognize, don't we, just how special Isla is to her family. We want to recognize not just how special Isla is, but how special every child is. Every human is. Every one of us in this room is special here today. Because the Bible teaches us that we are much more than just scientific creatures that walk around. And in fact, that's why I read that psalm. The psalm teaches a couple of truths, and the first one it teaches us in verse 13 and verse 16 is this. The psalmist says, "Look, Lord, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Now, I don't know what you thought of when your children were born or what you think of when you look at Isla, but I bet it's not this. Oh, what a lovely little bunch of Andams randomly created in the evolutionary chance event of life. Ooh, just like a little monkey. Now, you could look at some of the people in this room and think that. But the point is that Christians, we just don't see people in those terms. We regard Isla and everybody in this room, wherever they're from, and we've been praying for these people in Syria, as human beings created in the image of God. In fact, there's no room for evolution in the Bible. The psalmist is clear. We've been fearfully and wonderfully made, he says. That God has knitted us, woven every intricate part. There's 10 silly facts. There's a million facts about the human body that has been so intricately made by God's. God has created us and he knows every detail. Nothing about any of us has been left to chance. You know, the word he uses is woven, and that means like embroidery. The fancy little stuff you see on sort of doilies at Andy's house. We just have the paper things, like normal stuff, people. The attention to detail. We are intricate creatures, lovingly knitted together, he says, by the Creator, even in our mother's wombs. Look at these amazing pictures. Wonderful, amazing pictures. Here's another little bit of information. I don't know why I threw this one in, but I think it's because I quite liked it. But did you know that a single microscopic human chromosome, whatever that is, contains 20 billion bits of information? A tiny bit of us and our babies contains 20 billion bits of human information. But let me just put that in perspective for you. If there are 6 letters in an average word, that would correspond to 500 million words in one tiny bit of our DNA. Now, if there were 300 words on a page, that would be 2 million pages of information on a tiny bit of our DNA. If there were 500 pages in a book, we'd have 4,000 books. One tiny bit of our information, microscopic tiny bit of our information, contains a library of 4,000 books worth of information. Don't tell me we've been made by chance. We are here today not only because Isla matters to us, but more importantly because she and every person in this room matters to God. We matter. We're here today to give thanks for this precious little girl that God has made and given as a gift to Andy and Debbie and the rest of the family. And we love Isla because we know that she's been fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself. They're here. Is this not like a little cheeky service that you can just stand up and go through some religious motion? They're here to publicly state that fact. She has been given to us by the Lord, they are saying, and our responsibility is to give him back, give her back to him, and commit her life to him. That is what we're doing here. And the Bible, if it does nothing else, teaches us this. It teaches us to have a high view of the human race. We're not just the same as all the other creatures crawling around on the planet. We're not evolved animals. We are much more than that. Who we are matters. What we do matters. How we live matters. The psalmist wants us to know that we have been made. But the second thing he wants us to know, and he wants us to know it in the first 6 verses, actually, is this, that God has made us, but also the God who's made us knows everything about us. So did you know, I'm full of facts today, you know, full of them, but did you know that there are marketing organizations hired by Facebook, Twitter, and web browsers, and they work out detailed information about every single time we go online? Who knew that? You're all thinking, I'm not going to go and talk about the Illuminati or anything. I'm not too paranoid. But based upon all these databases and statistical techniques, these organizations can describe with great accuracy what you watch on telly, what you like to watch, what you like to listen to on the radio, what magazines and papers you like to buy, what brands of food and clothing you wear, what your key attitudes and moral values are. That is why, if you're online, certain types of adverts always pop up on your screen. Because marketing agencies have spent millions researching you and every time you click. Now, I find that personally a little bit creepy. But you see, that doesn't compare, the Bible says, to the one who doesn't just know our likes and dislikes. He doesn't just know what we bought at Asda's for tea. He knows us. No one else on this planet can say that. We live in a technologically amazing world. There are satellites are hundreds of miles out in space that can take a high-resolution picture of you sunbathing in your back garden. Just to add a bit more paranoia. Clever. Brilliant. Clever technology. But it can see us, it can look at us, it can spy on us, but it can never know us. These things don't know us inside. There's always a part of us, isn't there, that is unknowable. All of us. I've been married 17 years. There are parts of me and things that I think and processes of information I have that I don't share with my wife. There are things that I've done in my life that I don't talk about, think about, I want to leave behind. We all have secrets. Even little Isla is going to grow up and have secrets. Sorry about that. I've got teenagers now, trust me. I was like, yeah, never happen. I'll be the different dad. I'll be super dad. They'll tell me everything. They barely tell me their name now. Still love you though, baby. We all have these little regrets, don't we? These little things in life. But the Bible teaches us that our Creator knows us intimately, deeply. In fact, it says there's nothing hidden from God. And despite the fact that He knows our sin, despite the fact that He knows our impure thoughts and motivations, He still loves us and He still wants to protect us. In fact, God loved us so much, the Bible says, that He sent His only Son to die for our sins. The innocent for the guilty, the pure for the impure. And even, can you believe it, with a little Mohican, even lovely, cute, chunky Isla with her little legs like that, chunky legs. Even Isla, in all her sweetness, has been born under the curse of sin, and she is in need of God's grace and forgiveness. He knows that now, even before we see her little personality develop. God has made her. He knows everything about her. The same is true for all of us today. He knows our every thought, our every word, our every action. And He knows it because He knows us. But the last thing He says in verses 7 to 12, He says, look, He made us, He knows us, but we cannot escape from God. We cannot escape from the eye of the Lord. Now, again, another fact for you. Did you know that there are 6 million CCTV surveillance cameras in the UK? 6 million. That is one for every 13 people. It is virtually impossible now to do anything and get away with it, isn't it? Just remember that, you dodgers. Technology has changed our lives forever. Somebody somewhere is watching us. That's a bit creepy, right? I mean, that on Earth with cameras, we have the Lord. But the internet has changed everything. One third of the world's population of 7 billion people is online at any one time. One third. That is mental. A third. Listen to this. There are 7 billion people in the world, but there are 8.5 billion machines connected to the internet every day. Half of them are in my house. Everything we do has the potential of being recorded on mobile phones and posted online. Who's in their 40s? If you're in your 40s, praise the Lord that you got all your dumb stuff out of the way before the internet revolution, right? Huh? Because I'd have pictures in my underpants on YouTube and all the weird stuff I did when I was a lad. Staggering down the streets in me grots. Thank the Lord that I'm not a young person today. Everything we do. Imagine being filmed, though, in your darkest moments. Imagine being filmed doing the secret things we try to hide. Imagine if your most embarrassing stuff ended up on the internet for your pals to have a quick click on. Be a little bit creepy, right? You remember this recently? Remember that? Ashley Madison, that American internet site thing where all these people were having affairs. 38 million people on this website had signed up to have affairs in secret. I mean, 38 million dumb people, right? Let's go on a massive worldwide... Anyway, we won't go there. But 38 million people, 1.5 million UK citizens have signed onto this. Thousands of them believed to be professing Christians, and one high-profile pastor in America resigned this week as he was discovered to have been registered on this site. Now imagine if I had a mind scanner that got you as you walked into the... I don't have a mind scanner. There's nothing creepy going through the doors. They're just normal grey doors. But imagine if I did have a mind scanner and put your thoughts on the screen for everybody to see. That'd be hardcore, wouldn't it? Imagine if God put all our secrets onto YouTube. Imagine this, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine if I hacked all your secret personal devices, phones and computers, and then put your internet search history up on the screen for everybody to have a look at. A few people going to clear their history tonight, aren't you? I can't do it, by the way. I'm just imagining, all right? So many of us, though, the point is this, so many people live their lives as if nobody's ever going to find out. But the Bible teaches us this, the God who made us, created us, and intimately wove us together, he watches over us. We cannot escape him. The psalmist said, doesn't matter, doubt, you could die to the deepest part of the earth. He's there. Go and hide in a cave. He's there. Go and lock yourself in your room with the lights out and just you and the internet. He's there. He is there. He is everywhere. Now that has two reactions. If you're a Christian, it causes us to take some comfort in the fact that our lives have meaning and purpose with the God who watches over us. If we're not, it's a little bit creepy, right? It's a little bit Big Brother. This is like a giant Big Brother house. And we're all a bit naughty. But that's the way it is. We should fear the Lord. We should have comfort that God watches over us. We should fear because God watches over us. If we are Christians here today, then this is what it means. You have no danger of your sins being exposed for all the world to see. Do you know why? Because Jesus took them. Jesus was exposed to them and took them upon himself on your behalf. Your screen would be blank, clear, not guilty. Welcome home. But for the non-Christian, the person who says, ah, shut it, mate, nonsense. Well, take your chances. The Bible says you will have to account for your life. You'll have to account. And our job as parents, my job as a pastor, is to hold out these truths to our children. We want to encourage our children, look, you are special to God. We want to encourage our children that you mean something in this world, that God knows you. We want to teach them, look, you are born under this thing called sin, but you don't have to sit there. You can go to Jesus for forgiveness. So let me leave you with these thoughts. If you're not yet a Christian, or if you're unsure of what a Christian is, let me put it very, very simply. A Christian is somebody who has recognized that life is not some random chance event. There's no Big Bang. Instead, for us, there is a creator. There is a creative mind behind all of this. That creator not only made us, he knows us deeply. He knows our thoughts, he knows our motivations. And a Christian knows that we cannot escape this God who knows us. And so we can live our lives like he doesn't exist. We can pretend that life is pointless and do our own thing. The Bible calls that sin. To ignore God is sin. But a Christian is somebody who says, I am a sinner. I'm not perfect. In fact, I'm a bit of an idiot. But I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus. If you ask Debbie and Andy what they want for Isla more than anything in the world, it is for Isla to trust Jesus. I'll bet you they don't care a squat what she does with her life as long as she loves the Lord. Ask them if you don't believe me. They want her to know one day to come and realize these truths for herself. That's what every Christian wants for their children. To know your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. We treat all people with respect. We love all people because all people are worthwhile. You know, the world outside is full of empty promises. It leaves us unfulfilled. But in Jesus, we can have life and peace and meaning. Amen. 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 Amen.